Welcome to the Closing the Gap podcast series, brought to you by BrandHook and CMO Magazine.
I'm Pip Stocks, and I'm your host for Closing the Gap, an 11-part series about how marketers can close the gap between what consumers want and what business is delivering.
The digital transformation is upon us, yet 74% of senior executives around the world state their understanding of the customer experience as incomplete. This series gives marketers practical ways to build that knowledge.
My guest for Chapter 5 is Madeline Morgan, a seasoned restaurant manager who currently is working at Rockpool in Melbourne. Hi, Maddie.
Hello, Pip.
This is the first episode where we're going to actually address the gap and start to give marketers some clues on how to close the gap between what businesses are offering and what consumers really want. And the one I want to talk about today with you is how to properly build a consumer practice. And we use the word practice on purpose. A lot of businesses will say to us, oh yes, we're consumer centric, but really we don't really see the consumer as an integral part of the customer experience, which is why we believe that marketers need to really build a practice. Hospitality has been doing this for years. It'd be interesting to see actually whether you think that it has changed. But in your experience, why do you think restaurants and restaurateurs are so good at delivering a really good customer experience?
I think that going back to basics, the word hospitality, that is what we do. We must be hospitable. That is the nature of what we do. Caring for our guests. Mm. I think that the fact people come to us for an experience and their memory is what they walk away with. They don't walk away with something tangible. They don't walk away with something they can try on, open, smell, touch, admire. It's their memory, their experience, which becomes their story. And so we need to ensure that their story is going to be important to them and obviously reflect really well on their experience with us and our business.
Do you think it's changed? Do you think hospitality's got better at this, or do you think you've always been good at this?
I think it's positively changed. I believe that our diners are far more knowledgeable now. I do believe that ups the ante with our delivery, and I think I see that as a really good thing. How we do things, has it changed? I think it is perhaps with staff. Training staff is a really integral part of, you know, what we do and to enhance that delivery. To reflect on old school hospitality, to go to a restaurant where you have, you know, French waiters who have been doing it for 40 years, Italian waiters who, you know, can be as arrogant as they like, and we deem that as extremely charming. Would that wash with someone who's 21? Positively not. Mm. So there are definitely changes. The essence of what we do hasn't changed. Mm. So you know, it's intrinsic, it's innate. It's about being kind to people. So those elements haven't changed. How we deliver and how mindful we have to be of people's knowledge, that's changed. So that's good, because I think it just simply makes us more considerate and aware of people's different demands.
I like that phrase, being kind to people, actually. And it's something that I have experienced with one of our clients, and the CEO and I had a drink the other day, and she said that when she first met their key target, she had real sympathy for them, and she felt like she wanted to warm to them. So there is something in that, isn't there, that about that business needs to maybe adopt from hospitality, that sense of kindness. I think that's lovely.
Yeah, I think Neil Perry does have this wonderful philosophy, and it's his care philosophy. Again, it's just fundamental basics, and it's about caring for our suppliers. So Neil has over 30 years, you know, experience with some of his suppliers. They are obviously now friends, like family to him. So they support one another. They're proud. They're loyal. It's a really lovely connection that they have. This care also is extended to his staff, his management, the chefs, the team. And then we are, as a result of that, kind to one another, and we care for one another. A byproduct of that is that we would just simply care for our guest because it is culturally what we're about.
Mm. I think that's really lovely. So you talked about staff training being an integral part of delivering a good customer practice or a consumer practice. So you obviously have some formal programs.
We do. This year we have launched a certified training program in-house. So we have Tom Sykes is our trainer, and he is Sydney-based, but he also spends time in Melbourne, and we have a Rockpool Bar and Grill over in Perth. So now we have this program. We have resident trainers in each restaurant, and we have training every 3 weeks. So it's really thorough. We cover, it could be beverage, food, it can be humanitarian. So it just encourages staff. It makes them feel invested in. It makes them have a sense of belonging. It gives them pride of place because they're empowered with all of this knowledge, which they can share with the guest. Again, it's about sharing. We can never tell someone something because they look young. I'll tell them about champagne. They won't know. We don't know. They may have grown up in France and have been drinking champagne for breakfast their entire life. We cannot assume. So it's the staff training is a really great way of us continuing to care for the guest.
So how do you get a feel for what the punters want? Like, how do you keep in touch? I mean, I know you're with them every minute of the day. Is that is that really how you know with the consumer?
I think there are, in terms of in the restaurant, face-to-face, not having a background, so I'm meeting you for the first time, for example, with your comfort levels, your behaviour, the way you speak, I will detect how you're going, what you're here for, whether it's corporate, special occasion, solo dining, bit of downtime, whatever the case may be. And ideally peg where I should sit and provide you with what you would like.
It's incredibly tailored.
I don't want to sound like I'm fond of my skills here. That's just in an ideal world. Yeah. And certainly you miss the buck. Sometimes people will come in, you'll think, oh, okay, this is, you know, a corporate deal. They want to be, you know, I need to be seen and not heard. And that may not be the case. They may find me disengaging. And so, you know, sometimes you may not ping it. But I guess when you have been looking after, you know, guests for that many years, you can play it pretty safe. If you are uncertain, you can just play a safer game.
But that's interesting too, because a lot of what the consumers want is a, you know, very customized, individualized kind of service. So, you know, what you have is that FaceTime that enables you to pick that up quickly and deliver what you think that they're delivered to their expectations. I suppose for the marketing teams that we deal with, it's much harder. Because they're not, that's our job, is to bring the customer into their world. I suppose in some ways it's a luxury being able to be with the customers every night.
It is definitely true. It is. And there are times when, like, some of the staff will say, I'm really struggling with this person. I can't, you know, whether it be create rapport, I feel like there's a bit of a roadblock. And I will always encourage the staff and say, see, this is a really great thing. This person's now your benchmark. So tomorrow night, if you have a bit of a tricky person, just think, oh, nothing compared to table seven last night. So it's about kill with kindness. Never, if somebody's rude to you, let it wash over you and kill them with kindness, because the minute you respond, react, expose yourself, it makes them uncomfortable, and we are here for them. And that's what we have to remind ourselves of. It's You have to remain humble. It's really, sometimes it's not easy.
Mm.
It's essential.
So those conversations, you'll have, you know, someone will meet you out the back and say, I'm really struggling with table 14.
Yes. And in that moment, I will just simply say, less is more, be present, be warm, be agreeable.
Mm.
Don't show, you know, don't break your cover.
Mm, mm.
So, and if there are moments when some guests maybe, for example, it's Christmas time, we have a guest who's extremely drunk. No, sorry, RSA. Not extremely drunk, having a nice time and is perhaps being a little untoward. In moments like that, you can easily just have management presence and be there. Not necessarily remove that staff member. If they're very, very uncomfortable, of course you would. But most often just, you know, management presence will simply dilute that.
Mm-hmm. There are other categories, you know, that I think could probably or would definitely learn from some of the things that you guys do. You've had a recent retail experience that you were very disappointed with.
Yes.
Do you want to give us the 3-minute version on that?
Certainly. So the 3-minute version, I purchased a pair of shoes and I believe there was a fault with the shoe. The company, who can remain nameless because I'm very polite, disagreed with me and simply said it's wear and tear. I asked for them to define wear and tear. They said, they gave me a very grey answer. They didn't say worn 12 times, worn 20 times, owned for X number of months. There was no black and white answer.
And in fact, you'd only worn them once.
This is a fact.
Yeah.
You can see the tread. There's not even there's no print of a foot, you know, like inside there's no like shape of my foot. They're like new shoes. So I drop the shoes off, don't hear back from the store. 6 weeks later I make contact, don't hear back. 3 weeks later I again make contact, finally hear back with a response that it's wear and tear. I simply express very politely, I think this is unacceptable. I'm dissatisfied with this response. I need another response. I need some action to be taken. This is you are a quality brand, globally recognised. I'm really happy and proud to support you. And this is becoming an unenjoyable experience.
What would have been your advice to them? Like, what would you, knowing how you build customer practices in your business, what would you have done?
Instant reply. Even if you look at the shoes and you think, okay, we'll send them off to the manufacturer, you know, to the manufacturer, we'll have tests done, and that's just how the shoe is meant to wear. Somebody contacting me that day, ideally, following day, totally acceptable. Personalising it. Thank you so much for dropping off your shoes. We're attending to it immediately. It may not be a short process, so please do bear with us. Just keeping me in the loop.
Yeah.
And that, I would have felt heard, and it would have validated how I was feeling. Instead, it was a really appalling experience because I did not feel valued.
Or cared for. That's very interesting. The digital world, we've talked a bit about in the past, Maddie, that has changed. It's changed categories, and in fact it's changed your category particularly, hasn't it? I mean, how many pictures of food plates do we see on Instagram?
Yes.
How do you feel about the digital world and restaurants?
I think it's a wonderful thing. With the Rockpool Group, for example, we have 3 people employed full-time to manage our social media. Neil Perry has been very on the front foot. He, like, many years ago, was, you know, tweeting, blogging. He is always encouraging all of us to be active with our own accounts. So I see it as a very positive thing. You know, we are all online. We will read a review of a restaurant before we go there. We will look at a menu before we go there. You know, that's what we do.
Mm.
We just effortlessly will research. We will look at Instagram. We will look at what's savvy, what's happening. So our group will post 2 blogs a day. We have Instagram in the last 18 months has been rampant. That's like a real go-to when it comes to social media for us. Twitter, a little less so because it can be a bit controversial.
Mm.
Facebook, very active. And obviously our website, just making sure it's really easy to navigate. So you can be 6 or 60, whatever your age, whatever your capabilities, you can go and easily work your way around our website.
How have you changed on the floor, do you think, as a result of social media or not?
I think, I will be honest, I do applaud people who complain in the moment. If somebody says, this steak's not good enough, you've underpoured my wine, whatever the case may be, I will celebrate that moment and I will thank them and let them know. So many people will not have the spine to say something, leave, jump on social media and be mean. Mm. Urban Spoon, you know, whatever the case may be. It really, these people need to realise that their voice makes a massive difference because we see a common thread if that steak isn't great. We see a common thread if, you know, we can fix something, we can turn a situation around. They will leave, and if we do our job well, they will leave and they won't remember the steak not being great or the wine being underpoured. They will think, that guy was amazing.
Mm.
That becomes part of their story.
Mm.
So, yeah, social media is really powerful, and the digital world is, yeah, of course, you know, it's imperative. It's how we will grow. It's what we are becoming.
There are 2 things that I think we've discussed that have been really amazing. The care factor, whether it's care and how that actually goes down the track, you know, how it starts from, you know, a leader and filters through to the people and then down to the consumer or across to the consumer. I think that's really interesting. And I think the other thing that's really interesting is this constant need for real time. So not just for brands to reply in real time, but also for the consumers to stand up in real time as well. I think they're 2 really powerful outcomes from our conversation.
Excellent.
So thank you for everyone who's listening. Thank you, Maddie. I wanted to, great, really interesting getting some thought leaders in who aren't necessarily working in marketing departments, but, you know, in your industry, you're right, you're really at the coalface, so thank you for your insight. Next week, we have Andrew Baxter, the CEO of Publicis, talking about the change in the consumer experience mapping and the chaos of the consumer wanderings, as we call it, and actually the importance of plotting that journey to build your customer experience. So thank you. Thanks, Maddie.
Thanks, Pip.